Mr. Coriel, five. You were telling me about the mutiny at Salerno, which you saw because you happened to be down there. You said the quartermaster.
Quartermaster came in, so he took me down the beach straight away. So I went down the beach, and Johnny Preston was making a speech to them about how we needed them, how the Durhams were desperate for them, or Durhams, or in a battalion of Durhams, who didn't know what they were worrying about, because they'd just be going home to train for another landing, and we had made a landing for them. This was his speech on this day. And he finished up, he says, "I give you my firm promise, it's enough of that." And Johnny Preston always keeps his word, he says, "That as soon as the situation here resolves, you will go back to your own battalion." He said, "You've got my firm word on that." Well, all but a few then decided to come to him.
Did he read the Riot Act?
Oh, everything was read, been read out of them by the...
But did Preston actually read it out?
No, he just trying to talk him into coming. He was trying to control things, you know, and he was a great man at it. And as I say, he got the majority to come, just a handful that was stayed. But the wagons all came down and took them back to our different battalions. And it was just about that time when they talked about on the tape that Johnny Preston sent word around their company. And I don't forget, there was one lad we called Les Holt. Les Holt from Lancashire, Blackburn, you know. He says, "Jimmy," he says, "I've sent for it, I've got a chance to go back to my own battalion in England." "Oh," I said, "good, aren't you?" He says, "but I'm a pussy." He said, "I've got used to lads here," he says, and he says, "I don't want to make another landing." I says, "I think I'll stay it. I'll kill you next year. Let's go there."
So, Preston had kept his word?
He did keep his word, yes. He gave all a chance to go back.
Now, you could see the men. I mean, was it more? Was it a real out-and-out mutiny, or was it more like a strike? Or
it was organised by these sergeants. So why should we go and help these old ones who are fighting in the desert, sort of saying? He thought we had been in North Africa and all that, you know. But he was agitating them to.
Do you know his name?
He looks a bird, you know. He's on the television. He's a weak man. It was an article in the Evening Chronicle about 3 weeks ago about it. But, when Johnny Preston got them all, the majority to come, these fellas were there for 10 years in jail, I think, but they're out now later, after the war. And,
were they all veterans, as far as you know? Cause, were they all veterans, or were there some new draftees amongst them?
Oh, no, they're all veterans from the Middle East. I think there were some new draftees that joined them over there, like, but as far as I'm concerned, they're all old 50 div men.
And as I say, was it like a strike, or was it like a, you know?
They just didn't want to come down. They said they weren't afraid to fight, but they wanted to fight with their own battalion. That was their argument.
So, but they weren't actually doing anything other than refusing to move.
No,
it was just what they call passive resistance. Yeah, now.
That's all it was. Passive resistance.
Did you have any sympathy for them as you watched them?
I had a bit of sympathy for them. I mean, I know I've been dragged on the main battalion. I had that with sympathy room, but when you go in the army, you go to fight, no matter where you are, and that was it. The army had the last word, had the right word, you know. They could have shot them for it on the beach. No argument.
So,
she's not loaded.
So you thought Preston handled it well?
He handled it very well.
What did you think of Preston?
He was great.
What was so good about him?
Well, whatever you did, he did. If you were up there 21 days without washing shave, he was up there 21 days without washing shave, you know what I mean, in the line. And he led by example, and that's it. That's purely and simply led by example.
And at this stage, who was your company commander? Was it still Johnson or this chap with
Jim Stringer?
And what was Stringer like?
Well, I still get on very, very well with Larry Stringer. He was a bit of a Puritan. Didn't drink. He didn't like bad language. And he used to say, "You've got to use this word over and over again. If you don't go to school, you're not going to dictate it. Is that the only answer if you do?" No. And he said, "Give you a lecture on bad language." But he was a good officer.
Did the man mind him lecturing him about language and drink? Was he popular with the men? Or
he was very popular. He had a twin brother who was in the the same division could do the artillery. And
now, so we got up to about February 44, back end of February, and you went on off on the Sobieski to the Middle East. How did you feel about that?
Well, I went on the Sobieski, and the first thing I seen was a lad, the one of Stephen, you know, when working time with me in Ahagman. Is any general lads on here? I says, hello, Tony. It was one of my neighbours. So I was well in on that, you. Tony Messer. I was down in the close quarters and I was eating egg roll. And we landed at the port shed. And we went up to Castleton. And from there we had a few weeks long, about 3 days in Cairo. Rest, 3 days holiday in Cairo. Everybody got punched. One of them gaiters on. That was a dress out there.
You mean, but you didn't have gaiters though, did you?
That was a dress out there, gaiters, but we didn't have them. We just gave them back. They all got, everybody got pinned. So Johnny Preston got the whole battalion parade, but all back across the city. He says, no, he says, well, everybody is just being charged, he's been in copy dress. And he said I hang 15 years, he says, and the other rest is for life, he says. He says, this stupid 30 men, he says. I've got someone to charge for fighting, he says. I've trained them for fighting. Case is dismissed, he says.
Did the battalion go a bit wild in Cairo, or did people behave themselves?
No, I behaved themselves fairly well. There was one or two scuffles later. But
who would they scuffle with?
With the South Africans.
Why was that? They're not.
No, I don't know. Too arrogant. You know, the last one. It wasn't no other time. It was a British sailor and that was doing most of the scuffling with them.
But your lads got drawn in occasionally.
Occasionally, aye.
Were you doing any training at Castleton?
Not at Castleton. They did later on, like, when we came back.
Now, they went up there into Palestine.
Went into Palestine for that. We went to Camp 22 for us in the Thania. And went into Tel Aviv from there.
And what were you doing there?
We doing patrols, guards, because
would you be on them as well?
I was on them.
What were the patrols like?
Well, you march from the town, you know, just showing the flags on the side, or if you started anywhere here.
Did you come under fire at all? Or? Did you understand what was happening in Palestine?
Cause no, I just knew that they were causing trouble and unrest, and we were there to try and quell it.
Did you know who it was? Was it the Arabs or the Jewish? Or did
we didn't know. We just marching on blame.
So you didn't care much either?
No, making sure nobody caused trouble. The senior marching on down, they didn't, you know.
Anything else about that period?
Pardon?
Anything else you were doing?
No, that's all. Then we came back there. That's the thing.
Now, I think at one point you went out to Rama near Tiberias, Lake Tiberias.
Lake Tiberias, aye.
And you were doing some special schemes, you know. I was interested there because they were doing some infantry tank cooperation between the two. How did that work, or did it work?
It didn't work as far as the tanks was concerned, because some of them was really cowards.
They were what?
Cowards. They got their own things off the land coming back in with you.
Not what off?
The track. First South African was serious for it.
First South African
tank
brigade.
The 7th Armour was good, and the male 5th, the 6th was good, but the 1st, always breaking down when he wanted them.
That was in action. What about when the training? I mean, how were you meant to cooperate with the tanks?
Well, you just followed behind them. The usual tactic, you followed behind them, and then when they got the other target, it was just simply the underground, you just passed by them. That was it.
Could you communicate with them and tell them what you wanted to
they would tell you that obviously I lean out the turret legs on the same time.
So it was not very sophisticated?
It was very, very little sophisticated about it.
So in June you went back to Kassassin.
I started doing a bit of mountain climbing there, fighting there. From there, more mountains.
Training,
yeah.
What did that involve?
Climbing, mostly just climbing mountain paths with heavy packs on, building your stamina up. Riding motorbikes up them as far as you could.
You were really enjoying your motorbike riding now, from the sound of it.
I was enjoying it. I enjoyed it better than walking.
What kit would you carry with you on your bike?
You'd have your pack on your back and you'd have your panniers.
Your small pack?
Aye. Now your Tommy would have got your shoulder.
And what in your panniers? Sorry, I interrupted a bit. Your pack on your back, Tommy going across, and what else?
And your panniers at the side of your bike. You'd have that full of stuff.
Your stuff. And no rifle then?
No Tommy gun.
Just, yeah, no rifle though?
No rifle, no, just a Tommy gun. I only had one over there.
What was a Tommy gun like as a weapon?
Well, the Tommy gun was a straight, was a short muzzle. You had 28 rounds in a. When it fired off in a second, with 28 rounds.
Was it a good weapon?
Well, it wasn't very accurate, it was just a spray weapon.
Had you used it much in action at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Right, so you were doing this training, and while you were there, Preston left, I think.
Yeah, well, Eddie was going to G1 or something.
Staff officer?
Right, staff officer.
And you got, I think, Major Worrell. What did you think of him when he first came in?
I didn't think he was too great, honestly.
Why not?
I don't know, he just had that look about him. Yeah, that's well.
What sort of a look, can you?
Well, not a bit trusted look, you know what I mean? Well, I don't know if I told him all right, like, but at that time, of course, it gave us a comparison with Johnny Preston, as the lads do it. It was a comparison. He had a hell of a job taking over, you know.
Right. So now you were. So you were still in the same company, were you?
Yeah.
Still B company.
Yeah.
And Laurie Stringer is your company commander. Who were the platoon commanders at the time? About right about then.
Perriam, I think, was one.
What was he like?
Oh, he was a good officer. Good officer. Good officer. But I think at one time Captain Jones was, but he was in charge of the rescue and the anti-tank crew. I think he came back to being could be Captain Jones. Then he went adjutant.
But you thought they were all right. What about the scene?
Another officer called Lieutenant Bradford.
What's he like?
And Elliot. This young lad straight out from England.
Both of them too. Would they be all right, inexperienced officers? I mean, how long would it take them to shake in?
Some days once, some just fell into it, natural. Some it took once. Some got sent back.
In what way? How did it show itself?
Well, we were in the farmhouse in Italy, and he was out on a patrol. And I was on guard outside his farmhouse, and I heard this shouting and screaming, so we went to investigate. It was the dinner password, and all that coming back, and they were dragging him back. And it was about one of the landline moving up for the house, and the best of it in the farmhouse was still on the set night. And he'd say, there were some volunteers. Still, there were some volunteers to go back and pick the lad up. So, about four volunteers, they took the lad up and they just said, come on, put yourself around there. Put yourself around.
Slapping him across the face.
Give him a couple of hours to cook the tea, like, you know, and he shifted up the next day.
Did you have any sympathy for people who lost the nerve? What about your senior NCOs, your company sergeant major? Do you remember who that was then?
They were all right. They were just the same as yourself. Some of them got frightened at times, right? Well, everybody did at times. He's a liar, man. I said he wasn't frightened with his action. He's just a liar.
Who was the company sergeant major?
At that time, I think it was a fella called Maloney.
What was he like?
Maloney was a Welshman. Before that, one a company called Jody Gates. He came from the Beds and Hearts Regiment. He was a company baraboy.
He's called Jody Gates.
Jody Gates, we call him Jody Gates. I was a company. He was from Luton. He was a great fella.
What was he like?
Move to left and three left, you know, just he was on the barrack when he was talking to you. Yeah, the whole battalion put in one day and he was acting RSF because RSF wasn't there. And, you know, we used to go to attention on Durham Light and we used to go to attention on the infantry. And he shouted, Durham Light, and then the lead dog barked. And everybody came to attention. Shoot that bloody dog, he says. That was a great part, you know what he. But at that time, was Maloney.
And what was he like? He was Welsh, not Irish.
Well, he was Welsh, alright.
Now, you then moved back to Italy. I mean, were you dreading going back?
No. The hardest work was finished then. Really, was so, I thought.
So you thought he was going
back to mop up.
So you went back early July, and started to move up. What do you remember of the move up into the line? You might not remember the places, but
I can't remember the places. But what was the line? The Gothic, was it? No.
Yeah, they moved up to the Gothic line.
Yeah.
They moved up slowly. On the way, they had a grand fete. Do you remember that?
I was Bastardo, and Captain Reynolds organised, I think. It was horse racing, football matches, and you have it quite a great day.
Did you take part in any of the events?
I got finished that day, as a matter of fact, by the military police.
Could you tell us the story?
I was standing watching a football match, my company was playing. I was playing next week, and one of the officers says, "Will you nip across to another regiment?" He's across the road, he says, "Give this message to the captain of that regiment." So I said, "I have to go for me helmet." But you want to load a helmet on a motorbike? I said, "Just across the road, get away." So I got away. It's on the main road, I got pinched by the military police. So I said, "I got pinched by the military police." He said, "All right," he said, "we'll get it squashed." Maybe they did. So it's squashed, I got finished that day. And that was, had another name, but the last name of it was Bastardo. Was it Fella di Bastardo or something?
Asta del Bastardo, probably. They also, did you ever see any of the concert parties? What were they? I mean, there was a divisional one, there was a sort of informal brigade one, I think. And
yeah, the divisional one was quite good, the concert party.
What sort of a show did they put on?
There was a woman, there was an impersonator on, that had a great dance band. There was a comedian and a lovely tenor singer.
And they were good?
They were good.
Yeah. Would there be people you'd heard of before, or just talented lads?
No, I hadn't heard of them before, no. Just talented. I hadn't heard of them, but probably some people may have done that.
What about smaller units? I mean, like what, there was Wally Binch and Hackett from 2nd, 5th Sherwood Foresters. They used to do shows for the brigade. Would you know of them?
No, well, we had our own, as I say, our own brigade. We're our own battalion. So we had an battalion formed a little party, and we used to sing. And Tim Kelly was a comedian, and, you know.
And were you involved in that at all?
No. didn't see.
You just went and watched. What were they like?
They were canny, canny. But when you hadn't had anything for months, everything was canny, you know what I mean?
So you were moving up, and that's where you did move up into... To go, well, it's the assault on the Gothic line, and what do you remember of that? It was a stage-by-stage process, and I know it's complicated, but if you could tell us what you do remember of it.
I can't remember very much of it, quite honestly. It was just, you're pulled into one position, you're set, and then you're pulled out, and somebody had moved forward and got a takeover from them, and you had moved through them, sort of thing. It was just, it was a continuous step ahead at the time. There was nothing static like there had been done before Camino and Casino, you know. There was no, that had been static fighting night, but this was all mobile. You knew you had them on the run, you just had to keep them that way. And shortly after we got put out again.
Now, do you remember Jimamo and things like that?
Oh, Jimamo, yeah, I know about Jimamo.
What, tell us about it.
Vividly, Jimamo. Yeah, I'd never seen the town as flattened as much in my life. We were stationed at the bottom of the road winding up. And when we did actually take it, I was sent up there a message to headquarters in this road. There was tin helmets, just like flat winch plates, you know. The plates were just after, and there was bodies lying all over, German bodies lying all over the plate. Young lads in the khaki shorts on it. The smell of death in the place.
Were you actually involved in the front line for, or were you doing mainly?
No, I was in a battalion, in a company.
In B Company.
In B Company, and we were attacking it. But they didn't attack it direct at the finish, they encircled it.
Which village was that? Which village?
Jimamo.
Jimamo itself.
Jimamo itself. I would took village by village, rolled it, and then sold it at the finish. That's all you can do. You got direct assault on it, was no good. We did finally take it. Well, at least I left it, that's what it that way. We didn't take it, I left it.
What tactics were they employing in this fighting? I mean, how...
Well, in Jimamo, they started by the First World War tactics, attacking it, and then they realised it was no good. So as I say, they started encircling it, taking the villages at that side and bottom, and another village there, and round this way. And they took all the villages around it, and they were beat up for ammunition, such like, you see that, to make that. And that's only way they could take it.
But generally, were they using sort of fire and movement things, or...?
Yeah. 25 pounders used to blast them, and then you'd move forward a bit, you know. But when I was to blast them, they were still there at the end.
Was there any, sometimes when a battalion's been fighting a long time, which the 16th had, you get what I think they called in the First World War shell hole dropping. I don't know whether you know what I mean, where people would just sort of disappear during an action without any real reason, you know, keep out of their way of trouble.
Yeah, I had a bit of it, but very little of it. Because there wasn't the strain attached to us as there was to the First World War soldiers. I mean, you read about them, you read about horror. And I've read all the stories about them, but we never had anything like that. It was telling us, you know, direct assault day after day. Knowing you're running the machine gun fire, and it was just terrible. But we hadn't that, so there wasn't as much strain. I've seen them going bomb happy. I've seen them going standing next to you, talk 1 minute, next minute, they're lunatics.
What would they do? I mean,
well, there was a case of one, a lad called Paddy Moran over at Wall's End.
Paddy Moran?
Aye. He was singing his head off. And I'll tell you what he was singing, Chattanooga Choo Choo, his favourite song. And just then, some jelly planes came over and were going to bomb the artillery in the next field. We knew the one coming for us, I'm going for that 25 pounder. And he just ran up and started running towards the jellies, screaming at the top of his voice. Well, we've got to make him before him down. And dragged them back and went to hold them till ambulance came and probably put them in handcuffs to get them in the ambulance. He was just away with it. And in a split second, just think that he's near.
So when he was singing, he was all right.
Aye.
The planes came across and he flipped.
Aye, he just flipped. It's just as quick as that. As fast as spraying the mat, he was away.
Was it common, bomb happiness, or...?
Bomb happy. That's what they call it, bomb happy.
Were there many cases?
There was quite a few.
Did you ever have any problems with your nerves? I mean, other than being, you know, nervous, but I mean, they never... Do you think there was any sort of person that would get bomb happy more easily than others?
Yes, you could tell them when they came in. We'll lag out to them, dear, because I'll show you what I'll do to them. That's another bomb happy case, and men were right.
So it was a confident ones?
The ones that came on, what were going to do, what they want. They were trying to make themselves confident, but they were... They're the first ones to go.
Was there any, things that some... I mean, well, you know, in a battalion, was there any cases of self-inflicted wounds or... amongst the battalion?
I see the sergeant doing it once.
Which sergeant was that?
And that's called Paddy Webster. Show his head through the foot.
Well, couldn't you see? I mean, they could see the smoke burns, couldn't they?
Well... Sometimes they did it from a distance, and
You actually saw him do it?
Wait, what I do? No, I didn't see him do it, but I seen him coming in after it had been done, like, you know, and
how did you?
What the lad says to me, he did that himself, I seen him.
And that was quite common? No.
It wasn't common, but it was.
There were a few cases of it.
A little bit, yeah.
What did you think of that?
I don't let them do it, you will do it yourself.
And no desertions?
No, there's one or two. There's one got parked as far as your brother from North Africa. He was a jar lad, no?
What was his name?
Kelly. Not Tim Kelly. Tommy Kelly, as they call him. Either as far as your brother.
Was he brought back?
Oh, he was brought back into North Africa at the time.
That was from North Africa, that?
He was staked out in the sun. And the padre came for that few weeks and he went cracker. He said, get him inside. And he made them take him inside. And the priest had him staked out in the sun.
What, like a field punishment number one?
And for that few weeks, he made him take him in.
Overall, did people start, without going actually bomb happy or deserting or shooting themselves, did people start to show signs of strain?
Oh, yeah.
How would that come out?
Well, you could see their nerves and were trembling and sort of thing. And you could sure it was when they said you're going to go into action again, you know, then tied us up in a mini corner, you know. And I actually seen Major Casey. I was a dispatch right at the time. And I went to Major Casey's a dispatch. He was in a farmhouse, he was in this little room. And, right, so I gave him his dispatch. And he said, I'm going to be a second, stand there. To me. And he says, lad, you're going into action, I'm telling you, never mind you, I'm feeling bad, you're going in. And this lad started, and he started whipping him across the face, this major case, he started hitting him. And the lad straightened up like, you know, all right, sir, all right. He said, I'll go in. So, Casey says to me, what's your name? I says, Corsa. What company? Bay company. Right. You'll be wanted as a witness, he said. So I thought he was going to charge them. I said, couldn't see another picture. He said, well, where are you from? I says, from Yarrow, sir. I knew he was from Yarrow. No.
What, Casey was from?
Yeah. So, goes away, and it'll be about, what, a fortnight, 3 weeks later. Casey sent for me, he said. They wanted Major Casey to see a day company, so I called him. He says, remember the incident? He says, I put myself on a charge. He says, but the private has not pressed charges. He says, he was in the wrong, and I was right to do it, and he thanks him very much because he's a good soldier again. But he had put himself on a charge. He's going to charge a lot. He put himself on a charge by stating it. So,
because you're not allowed to, officer.
No. But the kid wouldn't press charge. The kid says, you pulled his own. Because the kid had went in that, and he was all right. He came up. He had put his own, slapped him up.
And did you do you think you showed any signs of nerves?
Nah.
So it was all your nervousness was inside to you.
Yeah. As I see, you're always nervous when you put an action. Anybody said it was telling that.
But you controlled it.
You controlled it. Yeah.
What helped you control it? Do you think?
I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to kind of do something.